All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, moving right along. Genesis chapter 3. All right, I'm going to start reading here in verse 15. And then I'm going to read down to the end of the chapter. All right, so 15 down to the end of the chapter. So verse 15 says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." Now, this enmity, that word means an enemy. I will put an enemy between thee. That thee is Satan. That's the serpent. That's the devil. And then between thee, the serpent, and the woman, and between thy seed, the devil's seed, and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now look at verse 16 and following. Unto the woman he said, so he just, the Lord just announced the curse that would be upon the devil, all right? And now he's going to give the curse because of sin. Remember, this is all a result of them sinning against God back earlier in this chapter. And so now, here in verse 16, God then says, I'm going to pronounce a curse upon the woman. Now, what was that? Well, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now, I didn't write that, so don't send me any cards or letters, all right? God said this, not me. Verse 17, and unto Adam, now he's going from the devil, from the serpent, now to the woman, to Eve, and now he's going to pronounce the curse upon the man, upon Adam. And in verse 17, he says, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of your life. Now, think about back before John Deere. All right. Think about back before John Deere. And if you were a farmer, you plowed up the ground with horses or with oxen or something. You got your teenage boys up there in the harness. I don't know how you did it, but you did it. And then you planted the seed. And but you didn't have all the things that farmers have today. And you could not come in and till the soil with a tractor. You had to get out there with a hoe, and you had to till it yourself. Now, if you didn't do that, when your seed began to pop up and things started to grow, if you didn't work and sweat and labor and toil, you're going to have more weeds than you had garden, right? Okay, so that's what this means here. You ever notice you don't have to plant weeds? You don't have to plant them. They just come up. It's just the way it is. Why? Because the earth is cursed for judgment upon man for disobeying God. And so he says, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Now, here's another blessing. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat, another blessing, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve. And that word means living. Living, all right? And he called her Eve. Why? Because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, now watch this carefully, did who? The Lord God. And notice, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. The God of the covenant. The God of redemption. All right? Jehovah God, if you will. All right? And so, unto Adam, and to his wife. Now, God made coats of skins, comma, and the implication is, and God clothed them. Now hang on to that, because you're going to need it in just a little bit. All right? That's an amazing statement right there. That verse is so vital, so important to the rest of the Bible. That verse lays the foundation for God's requirements in the sacrifice. God's requirement in the sacrifice. All right, we'll skip verse 22 and so on, because we're just going to focus on a couple of things in these verses that I read. All right, let's pray, and I want to speak to you tonight on this subject, requirements in the sacrifice. All right, now Adam and Eve have sinned against God. They have sinned against God, and they tried to do something themselves to remedy the guilt that they felt when they sinned. And go back for just a moment to verse 7 of this third chapter. It says, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they, what's the next word? Knew. They knew that they were naked. So that was their conscience being stirred. That was their innocence, which they were living in prior to the sin. That was their innocence gone. Gone. And now the guilt of sin has set in. So what did they do? Well, the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And with that knowledge, what did they do? Well, they sowed, notice it, they sowed, they did it, fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Now contrast that, folks, with what we read in verse 21. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, notice the difference, did the Lord God make. All right, not Adam. Adam and Eve, they didn't do a thing here. You see, what they did was not sufficient. And the reason, listen, they knew it was not sufficient. You say, well, Pastor, how do you know they knew that it was not sufficient. I know because they hid themselves when they heard God coming. They hid themselves. And I can see them over now feverishly working on those fig leaves to get them around themselves to cover their nakedness. And when they didn't want God to see them naked. So they knew that they were naked. All right, so let's start here at verse 15, and let me give you, now remember, we're shining the light on the Old Testament scriptures, and when we shine that light and turn it up brightly, we see Jesus standing there. That's what we're doing. We're looking for Jesus all the way back in the Garden of Eden. And we've already seen him there many, many times in many different areas. All right, but tonight, I want us to add a little bit more light from chapter 3, verse 15, and then I want to give you what I think here are three requirements that God gives about the sacrifice. All right, but let's look at a couple of things here that will lead up to that. Don't forget that God reveals to Adam and Eve that a Redeemer was coming. That's what verse 15 is all about. He is letting them know that a Redeemer is coming. There would be promise of a Redeemer, and that Redeemer would one day come for sure. That Redeemer, by the way, was the Lord Jesus, Amen. Who was born 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem's manger. All right, so that promised seed that God gave, this enmity, if you will, this enmity is Christ, and this enmity was promised here in this 15th verse. But notice now that when you get over to verse 21, you have a little bit more light that God shines upon this great promise. A little bit more light is shined upon it. This is in verse 15 and in this chapter, this is the first mention of the gospel, verse 15. But then I want you to see something. It just blessed my heart when I saw this. If you look at verse 21, you will see that this, verse 21, is the first gospel message. And it was preached by God Himself. Look at it. It was the first gospel message, and that message was preached by God Himself. And unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Now, folks, remember that Adam and Eve had just sinned against God. This had all just happened. And now here comes God to their rescue. They are the only two human beings on the planet. They are now sinners who stood in need of a Savior. And so God comes along and tells us His requirements for the sinner's salvation. This is what God demands. Now, before I get really into the meat of this verse, let's just take a minute and look at the setting in which this happened. Man had disobeyed God and thus was under now, because of his disobedience, the sentence of death. And Adam and Eve were aware, they were conscious of their predicament. They knew what was upon them now. Well, if you go back to chapter 2, you very clearly read that that God told them that they were not to eat, not to eat. All right. He said, verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, folks, Adam and Eve were not dumb. And when God said that, they fully understood what God said. Don't think for a moment that they did not understand. Yes, they understood. They understood clearly that they were not to disobey the word of the Lord. But they did it anyway. And so they knew, folks, that's my point. They knew that they were in need now of a Savior. And that is why God tells us His requirement for the sinner's salvation. That's why He tells us this. Now, they had disobeyed, and they knew the situation they were in. And sin blinded the two of them, just like it blinds all of us. And it blinded them. Instead of fleeing to God for help, that's what they should have done. They should have immediately went running around trying to find God. Instead of God having to come down into the garden and say, Adam, where are you? Adam should have been running around the garden saying, God, we need you. But they didn't do that, did they? No, sir. They didn't do that at all. They frantically instead tried to do something to affect their own salvation. They tried to do something of themselves that would affect their condition. You say, well, Pastor, what did they do? Well, they made aprons out of fig leaves to cover their nakedness, their shame, their guilt. And they figured, well, you know, if we can just, we now know we're naked. We now sense that something's wrong. We're not like we used to be. That glow of innocence was gone. And now they are sinners, and they know that they are sinners. And so they are feverishly working to cover their own sin by the work of their own hands. The minute they sinned and became sinners, they lost that cover of innocence that was upon them, and they knew that they were shamefully naked. Again, look at verse 7 of this third chapter. In verse 7, it says, and they knew. They understood it. They understood it. But the fig leaf aprons were completely inadequate. And it didn't take them but a second to figure out that those aprons that they made with their own hands were indeed useless. Now, again, how do you know that? I know that because that's why they ran and hid themselves from God. If they truly believed that the fig leaf aprons were sufficient, they would not have continued to hide from the Lord. But notice, folks, that God came to their rescue. We see a demonstration of God's grace here in an amazing way. God came seeking them, even though they knew that they had sinned against the Lord. Adam and Eve were sinners now shrinking back away from God. But God was a Savior who was seeking after them. Adam, the shrinking sinner, God, the seeking Savior. And He still seeks. He's still seeking souls. Oh, thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for that. And so Adam and Eve were hiding, and God says, "Where art thou, Adam?" And it was the Lord who came to their rescue. Hey, folks, don't forget Paul's words in Romans chapter 5 and verse 20. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Oh, thank God for that promise. But the Lord, notice, utterly rejected their vain efforts to cover their own sin. God rejected it flat out, just right out. Folks, listen, fig leaf salvation will never satisfy the just demands of a holy God. It's just not going to work. So after God announced the consequences of their disobedience and spoke the curse upon the serpent in 15 and 16, and then upon the woman in verse 16, and then upon the man, and then upon the earth itself, He gave us His glorious, inexhaustible, gracious message of redemption that is found in verse 21. And that statement is what we're going to look at right now. And I want to show you that this verse, this 21st verse, is a pattern for how men are saved from their sin. There is a pattern that is established right here. And that pattern from verse 21 on in the Bible is consistent. It goes all the way through the Old Testament consistently. And then when you get to the New Testament, you see the coming of that Redeemer that was promised way back here when all this first happened. Verse 15. And then you find Jesus on the cross, and you see Him dying upon that cross. And then they took Him down and buried Him in a borrowed tomb. And then on the third day, just like the Bible said, He came out of that grave. He resurrected in victory, proving that He had paid this sacrifice that God said sin would have to bear. What a message. What a message. Now, look at this 21st verse. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Now, three requirements, three things. As you read this verse and think on it, there are some obvious lessons. And then, I want to point those out to you here, and then I'll give you the three principles, the three things that are in this pattern for how men are saved from sin. All right, but let me give you just a couple of obvious things. First of all, I think that God took two lambs, one for Adam and one for Eve. All right, two lambs, one for Adam, a sinner, and one for Eve, a sinner. The innocent had to die so that the guilty could go free. All right, so one lamb for the two of them. No, One lamb for each. One lamb for each. All right? And then God laid them upon the altar, and right before Adam and Eve's eyes, the Lord slew those lambs. You can imagine the shock and the dismay that Adam and Eve had. They had never seen death. They had never seen death. And they have to stand there and watch this struggling lamb doing its best to free itself, knowing that what was taking place was not good. And so they did what all animals do when they're afraid. The lambs began to kick. They began to protest. They began to cry out. But God held them to the altar. And God took a knife and cut their throats. And the blood poured out upon the altar. Can you see Adam and Eve in your mind's eye? Can you see them shielding their faces? And God saying, "No, Adam, don't cover your face. Look at this. This evil, awful sight is because you have sinned. And these are the wages of sin. I told you not to do it." You with me? And then they had to watch again as God took the lamb for Eve and did the same thing. And with this action, think about it, folks. God then took, after the blood was shed, God then took the skins of those two animals, one for Adam, one for Eve. And God took those bloody skins and wrapped Adam and Eve in those bloody skins. Can you imagine them standing there with blood dripping off of their garments? They were probably about as grossed out as you could be. But God said, "Adam, this is the price. I told you not to disobey me. But now that you have, this is the price. You want redemption? There must be blood. There must be blood. There must be." And this, with this action, defined for us in clear, simple language in verse 21, we can see exactly how God laid down three eternal divine principles from which there has been and will never be any deviation. It's this way or it's no way. There must be blood. The innocent has to suffer. All right, now here are those three principles. All right, number one, the acceptable sacrifice must be provided by God. It had to be provided by God, had to be. You'll notice the wording. It is so simple. Folks, listen, if we're not careful, we blow right over this verse. We'll just fly right through it and miss one of the greatest truths that is written on the pages of the Bible. Notice what the verse says. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God, what's the next word?
Make.
God did it. God did it. Hey, folks, what's what You remember that verse over there in John? Let's see, what is that? Chapter 3, and what is that? Verse 16? Yes. Anybody remember that verse? For God, say it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You see, the sacrifice had to be provided by God. Isn't that awesome? You know what that means? That means that your fig leaf, you know, the fig leaf of baptism, you know, the fig leaf of church membership, you know, the fig leaf of writing a big old check out to the church, those fig leaves aren't going to help you one bit. But the Lord Jesus can help you. All right? So the animal, think about this now, the animal was God's gift and not the work of man. As a matter of fact, those fig leaves were just straight up rejected by God. I can imagine that once God carefully took the skins off of those lambs and then turned around and looked at Adam and turned around and looked at Eve, He probably said, get that off of you. Get that off of you right now. And God clothed them. You see, they clothed themselves in the fig leaves. But God said, I'm going to clothe you now. You with me on that? That's awesome, isn't it? I tell you, it just amazes me how many people through the centuries have been unable to see this. And it just jumps off the page at you. When you take that verse and go over to the New Testament and you see the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, My, how could you miss that? You see, those fig leaves were rejected. Why? Well, because number one, it was the work of their hands. And number two, there was no blood. There's no blood in those leaves. None at all. Adam with his own hands provided the fig leaves, but mark how emphatic we are told that the Lord God made the coats of skins. The point is, folks, Adam and Eve did absolutely nothing in this exchange. Nothing. They did not take the animal and sacrifice it. They did not take the skins and put them on themselves. No, the Lord did it all for them, setting the pattern. Because that is exactly what the Lord Jesus came to do for each and every one of us. Folks, listen, I know you know this. You couldn't earn your way to heaven if you wanted to. You just couldn't do it. Your fig leaf religion is never going to stand up before the Word of God. It's just not going to stand. God did it all. And it was the Lord alone who furnished the skins to cover Adam and Eve. And folks, this is the only type of sacrifice that the Lord will accept. It's the only one. Great effort was made to show that it was the Lord who clothed them. And folks, if you just read and fly right over this verse, you're going to miss that very important matter. The verse clearly says that the Lord God made coats. God did it. God did it. But not only did God make the coats, God clothed them. Who did it? God did it. God did not take the skins off of that animal and then throw it over and say, here, Adam, put that on. No, sir. God said, step forward, Adam. And the Lord put it on him. The Lord covered him. Just like the blood of Jesus covers each and every one of us when we trust him. You see, our first parents did not even have to put the coats on themselves. They didn't even have to do it. God did it for them. They did not have to lift a finger to do anything. God made the sacrifices and then God clothed them. That's amazing. But that's what's in that verse. But that's not all that's in that verse. Secondly, I said first, the acceptable sacrifice must be provided by God. But then secondly, the atonement must be by the death of an innocent substitute. You see, that little lamb that was sacrificed for Adam, it didn't do anything wrong. It didn't do nothing. I mean, that poor thing was just standing there when God grabbed it. It didn't do anything. And that little lamb that was sacrificed for Eve's sake, that little lamb didn't do anything either. So, the second principle is that the atonement must be by the death of an innocent substitute. The innocent animal the Lord slew to provide the skins had no part at all in Adam's or Eve's sin. That animal was an innocent victim of their sin. It was an innocent substitute that lost its life so Adam and Eve could live. All right? Man could not atone for his own sin, for its penalty had already been declared. What was the penalty? 2:17, death. 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 Now look carefully at the wording. Look carefully at the word. Look at 2:17 again. And look carefully at the wording. He says, for in the day, last half of the verse, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Surely. Now, folks, here's something to consider. If Adam and Eve had not sinned in the Garden of Eden, they would still be alive today. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. And if they had not sinned, there would be no death. All right? There's been a great deal of debate about one aspect of this whole matter that I've always found fascinating, and I want to share it with you tonight so it can keep you awake tonight. All right? Some have said that if one single day had passed without the provision of this sacrifice from God, Adam and Eve would have died on that very day that they fell. You say, well, where do they get that? Well, look at chapter 2. Look at chapter 2, verse 17 again. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the what? That's where they get it. The rabbis feverishly believe this. I mean, they'll argue till the cows come home, or even if they don't come home. If God had not stepped in on the day that they sinned, they would have surely died. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? Before the first day was ended, though, notice, God came to their rescue. God came to their rescue. In other words, on the evening of the very day, all right, look at chapter 3 again, when it says in verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. What's that? That's the evening. That's the evening. I mean, it's been hot all day long, and now it's evening, and the sun is setting, and lo and behold, it gets cool. And here comes God in the cool of the day, as he was known to do with them. Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? Hurry, Eve. Hurry, sew that thing. Hurry. Tie that off. He's coming. And all of a sudden, Adam says, Lord, we're over here in the bushes. Well, Adam, what are you doing over there? Have you sinned against me? Well, Lord, it wasn't my fault. It's her fault. That's what he said. So God looked at Eve and Eve, you got something to say? Yep, wasn't my fault. It's that serpent's fault. See, nobody wanted to take the blame. Just like we don't want to take the blame, you know? It's always somebody else's fault. So before the first day was ended, here came God to redeem them. That's an amazing thing, folks. God came with his substitutionary lamb. And when you read the record here, it certainly seems to imply that that is true. For in the day that thou eatest thereof. For in that day, here came God to rescue Adam and Eve. Third thing, got to hurry. Number three, God shows us, number three, that this atonement was by the shedding of blood. This is crucial. You say, but Pastor, there is no blood mentioned in verse 21. Yes, there is. How in the world do you get coats off of that lamb without blood? Huh? How you do that? You skin that creature, you kill that creature. You kill that lamb. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. How do you get skins from an animal without shedding blood and killing that animal? And don't miss the difference between God's covering and Adam's covering. Adam's leaves. Adam's covering for his nakedness. Notice in chapter 3 and verse 7, at the end of the verse, it says, and made themselves, what's the next word? Aprons. All right, they made themselves aprons. But then notice that in verse 21, God's covering is called coats. See the difference? I mean, if it's cold outside, would you rather have a coat or an apron? And by the way, an apron doesn't cover a whole lot, does it? Amen. Now, I did some checking on the difference here. The Hebrew word for apron is a specific word that is often translated as a belt. A belt. Well, that's not very much of a covering, is it? I mean, No, thank you. I'd rather have a coat, if you don't mind. You see, the Hebrew word for the coat is the word that is often translated robe. When talking about the garment of the priest, sometimes it's interchangeable. Sometimes they will call the priestly garment a coat, and then other times they call it a robe. Same word. Exact same word. All right, so do you see the difference? I mean, a belt or a robe, a coat? A belt or an apron or a robe, a coat? You see, when Moses received the law from God, the law said that the high priest wore a robe. Same word that is used here in verse 21 that is translated coats. God made them coats of skins. You see, God's coats actually covered them. Their little belts did not. Their little aprons did not. But the robe, the coats, actually covered them. So these are the three elements of an accepting or acceptable atoning sacrifice. First, it must be God's gift. It must be. And folks, don't forget, Jesus is the gift of God. And his work, it must be God's gift, and it must be his alone. And second, it must be by the death of an innocent substitute. And thirdly, it must be by the shedding of blood. So folks, God's initial declaration of the one and only acceptable sacrifice for sin that God will accept, the only one, is what is outlined here in chapter 3, verse 21. It's the only one. And boy, you shine your light down, you shine the light of the Bible down, the rest of the Bible down on that 21st verse, and boy, standing right there just as clear as a bell is the Lord Jesus himself. That's awesome, isn't it? When these three conditions are met, God accepts the provision. But when any part of these three are missing, then God's not in it, folks. And that's why you can't earn your way to heaven. You can't do it. It's impossible for you to do it. Adam couldn't do it, and neither can you. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you now for our time together tonight. Thank you for this wonderful passage of Scripture, this great verse. Oh my, what a tremendous verse of Scripture this is. And Father, we're so thankful that you made a way to have us completely covered. Our sins are gone. All through the Old Testament, those lambs were sacrificed. And they made atonement. They made a covering. But Father, we're thankful that one day the Lord Jesus came walking where John the Baptist was baptizing and preaching. And John took his finger and pointed it at Jesus, got all the people to look at Jesus, and then said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Amen. Those lambs in the Old Testament covered sin, looking forward to the Redeemer coming. And now that the Redeemer has come, our sins are gone. He's taken them away, never to be remembered against us no more. What a salvation we have. Father, I pray you'll bless this thought to our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.